Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. We want to welcome you to our program as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the true return of Jesus at the rapture of the church. Well, folks, it's great to be here with you on this Saturday afternoon. And we are coming to you live from Seneca, Illinois, at the Freedom Baptist Church, where we are in the midst of a Bible prophecy conference. We began on Wednesday evening, and we're going all the way through Sunday. And we've already seen one person come to faith in the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. And we have been doing some decent turnouts here, some really good decent turnouts. And it's just really, really been a blessing. And folks, if you live anywhere in the area of maybe Morris, Seneca, or any of the surrounding area, we want to invite you to come on out tonight, 7 p.m. Saturday night, as we continue this Bible Prophecy Conference at Freedom Baptist Church. I believe it's 104 North Main Street here in Seneca. Joel Robertson is the pastor and a very good friend of mine, and I've been preaching for him every year for the past few years now for these Bible prophecy conferences. And we're just having some wonderful, wonderful fellowship, and we'd love to have you be a part of that fellowship and see what God is doing in the world in light of biblical prophecy. So we'd love to invite you to come on out tonight to Freedom Baptist Church, 104 North Main Street in Seneca, Illinois. Now, for those of you who are living outside the state, or you may be 3 hours away, 4 or 5 hours away or so, you can still tune in. Prophecy Conference tonight, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We will be broadcasting it live on Facebook live stream. So if I have you as a Facebook friend, or if you'd like to send me a Facebook friend request, just simply send it to August Rosado. I will make sure that I confirm that request, and you can tune in live to the Bible Prophecy Conference. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. God was just working mightily last night. The night before, we've seen one person get saved so far at this prophecy conference. And I'll tell you something else, folks. People have been coming forward to the altars every single night. These altars have been filled with people just coming to the altar and just pouring out their heart to the Lord. We even have one dear brother in this church who's a deacon, who's in so much pain right now, just going through severe spine, back pain, leg pain. He's on a cane, for crying out loud. A very young man. But yeah, he's making it a point, folks, to be here every single night for this Bible Prophecy Conference. We even have a man who was driving up here from Alabama. Can you imagine that? From Alabama to be a part of this Bible Prophecy Conference. I mean, you're looking at about a 10-hour drive right there, folks. But he wants to be a part of this Bible Prophecy Conference. And so you know that God is doing something here. God is really working mightily through this prophecy conference. And I am so looking forward to seeing what God is going to do. tonight. So again, folks, if you're listening to me anywhere across the United States, you can watch live via Facebook live stream, but you can only do that by sending me a Facebook friend request. If you live in Illinois or any of the surrounding areas, you can join us live at Freedom Baptist Church. Join us in person at Freedom Baptist Church, and we would love to have you with us. Pastor Joel Robertson would love to meet you. And so, again, we're just really looking forward to seeing what God is going to do. And again, folks, talking about the social networks, you can follow me on Facebook, simply August Rosado. You can also follow me on Twitter. Look at all the news stories that I post on Twitter. My Twitter account is Bible_prophecy. And you can also follow me on LinkedIn, simply Evangelist August Rosado. You can also visit our website at todayinbibleprophecy.org. While you're there, sign up for our weekly internet newsletters. They go out every single week. And I know that that will be a blessing to you. You can also look at my speaking schedule to see if I'm going to be at a church near you. And we're just excited for the manna that has fallen down from heaven so far at this prophecy conference here in Seneca, Illinois. And the fellowship has been sweet. The meals have been great. And it's just a blessing to see the hand of God moving throughout this prophecy conference. And I'm going to look forward to seeing what the Lord's going to do tonight, what he's going to do Sunday. The people have been coming out. So we're really appreciative of that. But I got to tell you something else, folks. The devil has also been hitting. He's been hitting people in this conference through health issues, whatever the case may be, personal issues. The devil's just been hitting. But we know that God is on the throne. God is in control. And we just commit everything to his hands. You know, I think of Psalm 55:22, where it says, "Cast your burdens upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And the parallel passage to that is in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." God has just really been moving. The people have still been coming out despite the sickness, despite the health issues. The people have still been coming out, and they've been faithful to this conference. And so, again, folks, if you live in the area, come on out. I'd love to meet you. Pastor Joel Robertson would love to meet you. And we're just having some wonderful fellowship, great meals downstairs, and we would just love to have you. Now, you know, we have our Bible prophecy tour to Israel, leaving September 3rd through the 14th for 11 days. We will be in Israel, and then we will be in southern Jordan in Petra. And, of course, I'll be teaching Bible prophecy on location in both those areas, in the Holy Land and in Petra. Of course, you know, Israel is the epicenter for Bible prophecy, where it's all going to unfold there. But we know that Petra will also play a major role in end-time Bible prophecy, where the Jewish people will flee from the Antichrist and hide there for the last 42 months, the last 1,260 days, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And so I will be teaching prophecy on location right there. So if you would like to join us in Israel this fall, in September 3rd through the 14th, you can send me an email with any questions you might have at august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. If you would like to go and you're ready to go, call my tour operator, our tour agent, Israel Tours LLC. They also go by Christian Tours to Israel. Their toll-free number is 1-888-300-3038. That's 1-888-300-3038. Ask for my tour agent, Eyal Evan, E-Y-A-L, Eyal Evan, E-V-A-N. Let him know that you want to join Arvis Rosato to Israel, and we would love to have you with us. Folks, next week I am going to be going into Ohio, and we're looking forward to being with our friends out there in Ohio, Walbridge, Ohio, at the Grace Bible Baptist Church, pastored by my good friend, Brother David Starksville. We will be there with him and all of his fine people next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, we will be in Toledo, Ohio. And we're looking forward to being with all of our friends out there. The name of the church escapes me right now. But we're looking forward to being out there for a couple of weeks. We would love to see all of you out there in Ohio. But what I want to do right now is talk about the news story of the day. It's one of the messages I preached here at Freedom Baptist Church called Electronic Tattoos. Could this be, folks, a precursor to the events foretold in Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18, a precursor, a possible precursor to the mark of the beast? And all of you know Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath a mark or the image of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 600, 666, or 666. So, folks, we know that during the last half of the tribulation period, the Antichrist will demand that the whole world receive his identification. He will demand that all the world receive this mark. Doesn't matter if you're wealthy. Doesn't matter if you're poor. Doesn't matter if you're free or incarcerated. He will demand the whole entire world to receive this identification system. And this mark will be placed in very visible areas, either in the right hand or in the forehead. And unbelievers, will receive this mark in order to survive onslaught of the tribulation period. Because the Bible says that you will not be able to buy. You will not be able to sell. You won't be able to eat. You will not be able to work. You will be an outsider of the Antichrist system. And so this is the reason why he will demand the whole entire world to be identified with his one world order, his one world globalization. Now, the word, now by the way, folks, nobody again will be able to buy or sell without first submitting to the political and religious system of the Antichrist. What's interesting is that according to Dr. Ed Heinsohn, he has a TV program called The King is Coming, a very good, solid Bible prophecy teacher. He said the word mark, it comes from the Greek word karagma. Karagma could mean branding, a stamp. But according to Dr. Ed Heinsohn, the word karagma means a tattoo. It actually means a tattoo. We know that, folks, tattoos are so popular in the world today. This mark will identify people with the Antichrist himself. The mark may be the name for the Antichrist or the name of his empire or the number of the beast representing of his name. You know, you hear people all the time say, you know, Ronald Wilson Reagan's the Antichrist because his first name has six letters, his middle name has six letters, his last name has six letters. Absolutely foolish, folks. My first name has six letters. My middle name has six letters. My last name has six letters. That absolutely means nothing. I mean, it's absolutely foolish. But we know that this mark is associated with this number, the number of the beast, the number of the name of the Antichrist, which is 666, his image or his representation, whatever it is, this mark is associated with this devious number, 6666. The number of the beast is 603 score and 6, or 666. We know that the number 6 represents humanity. It represents fallen mankind in his decrepit, depraved, sinful state. Man is the Greek word anthropos, meaning man or mankind. 6 is the number of imperfection, and it's the number of the Antichrist. 603 score and 6. Man is a fallen creature. Man is a fallen human being. Man does things that are contrary to the holy, righteous character of God. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:18 says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. We live in a fallen world with a fallen human nature. And folks, this is the reason why the world is in such a mess today. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart of man is deceitful and above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But we know the source of this evil is not man, because the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Man is not the enemy, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, which is the reason why we're told as followers of the Lord Jesus to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's the prince and the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. He can transform into an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14 tells us. We know that this unholy trinity in the tribulation period, the dragon, Revelation 12:3, that's Satan. The beast, Revelation 13:1, that's the Antichrist. And the false prophet, Revelation 13:11, they are the unholy trinity during the tribulation period. As a matter of fact, John describes all three of them together in Revelation chapter 16 and verse number 13. He said, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils or demons working miracles that go forth to deceive the whole entire world. So this unholy trinity has a favorite number, the number 6, because it represents man. It represents fallen humanity. 6 represents the number of imperfection, man's fallen nature as a sinful, rebellious human being, representing sinful, rebellious humanity. 6 could also represent the evil trinity, as I said, Revelation 13:11, Revelation 16:13, unholy trinity of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. But folks, we also know that the number 7 represents perfection. And it is the number that God chooses to represent his holy nature, his holy character, representing the holy nature of the Godhead, of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We know that Genesis 1:31, God created the world in 6 days, and according to Genesis 2:2, on the seventh day, he rested. The seventh day is what they call in the Hebrew Shabbat, the Shabbat, or the Sabbath. God rested on the seventh day from the 6 days of creation. We know in Leviticus 23, God gave the children of Israel 7 feasts to keep as a memorial through all their generation. We know based on Numbers 11:16, God gave Moses 70 men to help him in the daily affairs of the children of Israel. We know based on Genesis 41, Joseph, in prophesying to Pharaoh, said that there would be 7 years of plenty and then followed by 7 years of famine. The Jewish prophet Elisha told Naaman the Syrian to dip 7 times in the Jordan River to heal him of the leprosy. We know that the tribulation period is going to be 7 years long. And we know that during the 7 year period of tribulation, God will pour out 21 judgments on the earth. 7 seal judgments, Revelation 6. 7 trumpet judgments, Revelation chapters 8 and 9. And then 7 vial or bowl judgments, Revelation chapters 15 and 16. According to the rabbis and the early church fathers, mankind would go on for 6,000 years. But on that 7th year will be a millennial year of rest. And that millennial year, based on Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 7, will be 1,000 years. That will be a literal, physical, bodily reign of the Lord Jesus on this earth in the city of Jerusalem from the land of Israel. There is no justification for allegorizing that. There is no justification whatsoever for spiritualizing that. Just take the Bible for its plain sense interpretation. That Greek word karagma for mark, according to Dr. Ed Heimsen, would mean a tattoo. And as I said, folks, tattoos are so popular in this day and age. Say, tattoos are so popular around the globe. But we also know that tattoos are in violation of Leviticus 19:28. You can either choose to ignore that or seek to heed God's word. It says in Leviticus 19:28, "Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." The reason why God told the children of Israel, don't print any marks upon you, don't make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, because that was a Canaanite practice. They would not only embalm their people, but then they would make certain cuttings in their flesh, and then they would body art the tattoos on the dead people as well as on themselves. And God told the children of Israel not to get caught up in that stuff. Unfortunately, they were getting caught up in that stuff. The Canaanites had their children pass through the fire. In other words, they burnt their kids alive as a sacrifice for the Canaanite god, false god Baal or Baal worship. And so God told the children of Israel not to get caught up in that. So tattooing is an ancient pagan Canaanite. Fortunately, many Christians get caught up in this stuff today. We also find in Leviticus 21:5, where God warned the children of Israel against practicing the Canaanite ritual of body art. He said in Leviticus 21:5, "They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corners of their beard, nor make any cutters of their flesh." In other words, they were not to make designs within their hair. You know, like today we see, you know, people with short hair, they have you know, marking designs over their hair and so on and so forth. That's what I believe that the Lord is talking about. And not to make any type of markings or shortness on the sides of their heads, which is the reason why when you go to Israel today, you notice ultra-Orthodox Jews, they would have the long curls. They're called pious, P-A-I-S. They're called pious or pious in Hebrew. And they would have that to block any shortness on the side of their heads. But what I believe God is talking about right there is not to make any type of markings or drawings or cuttings within the hair or designs or cuttings within the hair. And so that's the reason why you have the ultra-Orthodox Jews wearing the long curls or the pious. But folks, God was really serious about this Canaanite practice of body art or tattoos of the body. And again, it was so popular among the Canaanites. It was a pagan practice. But even some Christians, as I said, get caught up in this. We know that there was a church in Florida where the pastor paid for his congregation to get a tattoo on them, and the church would pay for it, of the church's logo. And this is what he said. The pastor added to the New York Daily News that although he understands why some Christians oppose tattoos due to the Bible verse of Leviticus 19:28, he said he believes a literal interpretation of such scriptures can cause division. The Bible for its plain sense interpretation, take it for what he believes, or you can misinterpret it to justify your own sin. I mean, there's really no other way to say it. And this is what this guy's doing. He's trying to justify it here. He said there are verses right before that that tell us to never to cut beards or sideburns or eat red meat. The Bible never talks about not eating red meat. It just says do not eat the meat with the blood. That's what it says. It doesn't say not to eat red meat. It just says don't mix the blood in with the meat when you eat it. He says some people want to take the tattoo party literally while still having their ears pierced and eating red meat. I mean, talk about misinterpreting the scriptures so that you can justify what God clearly calls an abomination, what God clearly sins. So either you're going to take the Bible for its plain sense interpretation or ignore it or misinterpret it to make it sound any way that you want. But we know that tattoos are the norm thing and really has no business among Christians whatsoever. So people in the tribulation period will have no issue taking the mark of the beast because, again, tattoos are so popular. Now, you know, I got a little small, tiny cross tattoo. I got that, man, I think I was like 13, 14 years old at the time. I'm 51 now. But I got that in ignorance. I got that before I got saved. And if I had my way, I'd like to take this thing off right now. You know, you can probably barely see it. It's way up on the top of my arm here, but I wish I could just take that off right now. So if you got a tattoo before your salvation experience, folks, there's nothing you can do about that. And I'm not going to condemn you for that. But I will call you out on it as a believer if you get it done after your salvation experience, after you become a Christian, and you know the pastors that deal with this type of Canaanite practice. So God said it's wrong, and he warned his people, the children of Israel, not to do it, just as he warns his people today not to do it as well. So if you do it even after your salvation experience, either after you got saved, folks, it's willful sin. It's willful rebellion. And there's really no other way to get around that. God warns about taking the mark of the beast in the tribulation period. By doing so, based on Revelation chapter 14, you will have damned your soul for the rest of eternity. And, folks, I mean, clearly, I mean, when you look at Revelation chapter number 14, God was extremely clear about this. In Revelation, in verse number 11, and I know that there are some, there's one popular Bible prophecy teacher out there that teaches that you still can get saved even after taking the mark of the beast. And folks, I don't think the Bible teaches this in any way, shape, or form. And his argument is that if you take the mark of the beast in ignorance, without knowing any better, well, God's not going to hold you responsible. I don't find that in the scriptures at all. As a matter of fact, I found in Revelation 14, verse number 9, where it says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark, forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." So, folks, the Bible is extremely clear on this. You take the mark of the beast during the tribulation period, you will have damned your soul for the rest of eternity in the lake of fire. And one of the arguments, taking the mark of the beast in ignorance and still being able to get saved, and of course, you know, my good friend, who I believe is an awesome Bible prophecy teacher, I don't agree with everything that he says, but they're minor things. But he's a solid Bible prophecy teacher, Dr. Jimmy B. Young. And of course, you know, John MacArthur, who I really don't follow at all. But John MacArthur also teaches that you can get saved after receiving the mark of the beast. But that's the minority. That's the minority in Bible prophecy today. They're the minority that's teaching this. Not everybody is agreeing with them. But in here's their argument, though. But in Revelation chapter number 16, and verse number 9, it says this, "And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not of their deeds." We know based on Revelation 16:2, "And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." So we know that these sores came upon those who took the mark of the beast. But when we get to verse number 9, it said, "And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." Now, in verse number 9, these men that were scorched with great heat, it doesn't tell us if they had the mark of the beast or not. We know the men in verse number 2 were scorched with these boils, these loathsome sores. It tells us they took the mark of the beast. But in verse number 9, it doesn't tell us whether these guys took the mark of the beast or not. It did say that they were scorched with great heat, and they repented not to give him glory. So the argument by those who say the mark of the beast and still get saved is that God said that they repented not to give him glory. So if they took the mark of the beast and they can't get saved, why is God telling them to repent? They repented not. We also find in Revelation 16, in verse number 11, "And blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." So if they can't get saved, why is God telling them to repent? They repented not. Well, there are two different Greek words for repent and repented. The Greek word for repented is not the same for the word that we know it, repent. So repented here simply means in the Greek they had the opportunity to repent and they repented not. They had an opportunity to repent and they repented not. Because they took the mark of the beast, they could not repent. So therefore, all of these plagues have come upon them. Now, these guys in verse number 9, they may have taken the mark of the beast. It doesn't say if they did, but they may have taken the mark of the beast, which is why all these plagues are coming down upon them. But again, the Greek there literally means they had a chance to repent, and they repented not. But because they took the mark of the beast, they could not repent. So, again, it's a weak argument to say that even though you took the mark of the beast in ignorance, you could still get saved. Folks, nowhere in the book of Revelation teaches this. And again, I just find that to be a very, very weak, weak argument. And you can do your homework on your own. Compare the Greek, you know, use a Strong's concordance, an Englishman's Concordus, and you can see the different Greek word in it for repent and repented. And you will see there are two different definitions for those words. So if anybody takes the mark of the beast, folks, during the tribulation period, they simply cannot get saved. So Revelation chapter 14 in verse number 9 is very clear. God sends an angel to warn surviving mankind. God warns about taking the mark of the beast in the tribulation period. And by doing so, you'll have damned your soul for the rest of eternity. Revelation 14, 9 through 11 is very clear. God sends an angel to warn surviving mankind about taking the mark of the beast. And folks, three warnings are issued by God to avoid worshiping the beast, avoid worshiping his image, and avoid receiving his mark. And those unbelievers who take the mark of the beast and worship him will receive God's eternal punishment in the lake of fire. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 through 15. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. One preacher put it this way: if you're born once, you will die twice. You will experience a second death. But if you're born twice, you're born again, you'll only die once. The second death will not have power, authority over you. Jesus said in John 3:3-7, 1 Peter 1:23, except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Our first birth is rejected because it's a sinful birth. We were born in sin. David made that clear in Psalm 51, verse number 5. He says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Job said in Job chapter 5, verse number 7, man is born unto sin as a sparks fly upward. And looking at today's society, folks, the sparks are flying around the world. Sparks are flying in the Middle East. The sparks of sin are flying here in the United States, which is why God said that Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, Jesus said he must be born again. So if you're born once and you've never been born again and you die in your sins without Christ, you're born once, die in your sins, you'll die twice. The second death of the lake of fire. But if you're born twice, if you've been born again, you'll only die once. And you'll spend eternity with the Lord Jesus. Verse number 10 says, they shall drink of the cup of the wine of the wrath of God without mixture. You know, before I got saved, you know, I used to drink a lot with my buddies, and they would bring that hard liquor stuff in there, and not proud of this. And they would bring like vodka or something and take a sip of that. Oh, that's absolutely nasty. Well, let me dilute it some. Let me mix some orange juice in that. And, you know, you're drinking, well, it's a little bit tolerable. But you see, verse 10 says, they shall drink of the cup of the wrath of God without mixture, undiluted. They will drink of God's pure wrath. And based on Habakkuk 2:16, the cup in the Bible is always symbolic of the wrath of God. Unbelievers who take the mark of the beast will suffer eternal consequences in the lake of fire, where based on Revelation 14:11, their smoke ascendeth will rise up forever and forever. They will have no rest, day nor night. Worship the beast and his image and receive the mark. What's interesting is that scientists at Tel Aviv University in Tel Aviv, Israel, developed an electronic tattoo that can read your facial expressions and emotions. According to these scientists, this is what they said, and I quote, the tattoo permits patients to carry on with their daily routines while the electrode monitors their muscle and nerve activity. The idea is stick it on and forget it. It reads your facial expressions. It reads your emotions. The monitor, your muscle, and your nerve activity. We saw a picture of one lady with this electronic tattoo that is a sticker that just it was stuck on the right side of her face. And it was sort of creepy looking, if you ask me. Folks, the technology is there today to fulfill the prophecy of Revelation 13, 16 through 18. With barcodes, computer chips, this prophecy out of the book of Revelation could be fulfilled tomorrow if God. I'm a big New England Patriots fan. I'm from New England. I hail from Lincoln, Rhode Island, formerly of New Bedford, Massachusetts. And, of course, we're big Tom Brady fans. And Tom Brady is going to have a four-game suspension in the upcoming 2016 NFL season. And he was convicted by the NFL Court of Law, if you will, of tampering with footballs and deflating the footballs. But now the NFL said that they're going to place a computer chip inside of the footballs to make sure that there are no tampering with the football. Today, animals, your pets, have electronic chips in them, so if they get lost, they know exactly where to find them. Even little kids, they have electronic chips being placed within them, you know, just in case they're, God forbid, you know, abducted. Well, that mark of the beast prophecy could be fulfilled tomorrow if God wanted to. But we know that Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 says the Antichrist will behead those who refuse to take the mark of the beast during the tribulation period. These tribulation saints will be resurrected at the end of the tribulation period, and they will reign with the Lord Jesus for 1,000 years. Now, according again to Dr. DeYoung, whom I have a lot of respect for, a very fine prophecy teacher, I've learned so much from Dr. DeYoung. I studied with him at his School of Prophets, and I have a lot of respect for him, but I disagree with him when he says everybody around the world has to take the mark of the beast. There will be no exceptions. But I don't find that in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 4, where it says, "And I saw a throne, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither received his image. Neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. These guys rejected it. They never received it. They never received it at all. So not everybody will take the mark of the beast in the tribulation period, and they will be beheaded. But folks, we know that with this technology, we know that the stage is set, the actors are in place, and the curtain is about to go up on the end time drama. We know the next prophetic event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. All I can say to that is Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. So as I bring this broadcast to a close, again, I'm coming to you live from Seneca, Illinois, where I am preaching at the Freedom Baptist Church, 104 North Main Street in Seneca, Illinois. Come on out tonight, Saturday night, for our Bible Prophecy Conference. And again, we'll have it all day Sunday. We will have our Bible Prophecy Conference. And so we love to have you come. Now, folks, listen, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you must repent of your sins, call upon the name of the Lord, and get saved. By doing that, you can say something like this: Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. You died on the cross for my sins. I deserve your judgment of hellfire. But I repent of my sins. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, change my heart, change my life, come into my life, be my Lord and personal Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me today. In your name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, man, I'd love to hear from you. I want to rejoice with you. Send me an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Don't forget to tune in next week as I come to you live from Wallbridge, Ohio, where I will be preaching at the Grace Bible Baptist Church in Walbridge. So if you live in that area, love to see you next Sunday as we're about to enter into the month of August. Until then, this is August Rosado saying, keep looking up. The Lord Jesus is coming soon. And remember to pray for the peace of the Lord. Shalom. God bless you all.